asking, how many of you all like to laugh? I see some hands raised. I heard some chuckles. It was interesting, as I was preparing this lesson today, I was thinking of this, it'll make sense here in a minute, but I was thinking of a couple of buddies I went to high school with. And one of the things, I love to laugh, but I'm not particularly good at telling jokes. I heard an amen. I'm just not particularly good at telling jokes. And I blame parents because, my dad would come home from work and he'd want to tell jokes. And I don't know if sometimes it felt like it just took him forever to get into the joke. You know, it was like, come on, wrap it up. And then other times, it was just like, Dad, that wasn't funny, you know? Like, I'm 10, you know? He'd hear something on the radio. I'm like, that's not funny, you know? And my mom would agree, that's not funny, you know? But the reason why I thought about jokes is because, first of all, confession, the mind was willing, but the body was weak. I was supposed to change the sign outside and talk about our new sermon series where we're going to spend the month of February talking about sacrifice. But it was too cold. And it's just been way too cold. So I'll get out there because the sun is shining today. But when you think about what our topic is going to be today, I want us to think about what's the first thing that comes to mind when someone says the word priest. Priest. And being that I mentioned my two buddies that used to always tell these jokes back when I was in high school, I went to a Catholic high school, and they would always start with this, you know, they come in and they tell these jokes, and some of you might be familiar with this line. It's the title of the sermon, a rabbi, a priest, and a minister. And I'm sure there's like literally, I see some of the smiles on your faces, because there's like literally hundreds of these, right? And it's interesting because, when I think of that, we often think of them coming into, they'll say a rabbi, a priest, and a minister walk into a bar, right? And I couldn't resist putting this up here. As you can see, this is the bar. They all ran, see, okay. I tried. I promise I tried. But that scripture reading that Daniel gave us, it talks about us being a royal priesthood. It talks about us, and when you think about, well, what exactly does that mean to be a royal priesthood? You know, because most of us, when we think of priests, most of us kind of think of something like this, you know, the black robe, the little collar or something, you know. Because that's generally the image that gets, you know, brought up in our head. But I want to read through this just one more time in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 through 10, because there's some very important application for our personal lives. And I want to set up what we're going to be studying out for the next few weeks and looking at what exactly is it that a priest was supposed to do. So as we see here, we'll read again, starting in verse 6, it says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now, when we look through this passage, one of the things that stands out is the idea that we're to be different, that we're called to be different, that being chosen by God makes us special. And the King James, the wording that is used is peculiar. It says you are a peculiar people. Now, peculiar is it, you know, we think of peculiar and we think of something that's kind of strange or different. But actually, peculiar means that it's something that is uniquely owned. It's something that is special. An example of that would be if you have an heirloom that was passed down to you by one of your parents or grandparents or somebody in the family, that is a peculiar gift in this reference. That is something that is special. We're like that to God. We're unique. We're treasured. Something that is different than just any other gift or possession. And what I want us to, as we have another passage I want to look at here, but as we go forward, I want us to think about the church and how it is that God builds his church with these special people. You can look to your left, look to your right, look in front of you. These are some special people. And what makes us special, what makes it something that, frankly, the rest of the world, people who don't know God's plan for their life, what makes it special is that we've accepted the call, that we have decided that we're going to live for Christ. We're going to be that royal priesthood, that special possession. And we talked about the King James and how we're unlike the rest of creation. We're different. And as we think about this priesthood, I want to continue to think, well, what is a priest? What does a priest do? What is the purpose? Like, exactly what is he getting at here when he calls us a royal priesthood? If we think back into the Old Testament, the Levites were those who were the priests. They were the ones who actually performed these duties. And we're going to look at a little bit of this in just a second. But it's important to understand that priests had a particular job within their society. They had a particular duty that was different than everyone else. It says also, we will never be put to shame for our faith and commitment to God. Ultimately, because we've decided that we're going to accept that honor and that special place, it says we'll never be put to shame. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean no one would ever laugh at you? That you won't be the butt of a joke? No. What it means is that God is going to match our commitment. And as we go forward over the next few weeks and talk about commitment and how it relates to sacrifice, it's important that we understand that our commitment to being that royal priesthood, God is also going to match and exceed our commitment by being faithful to us. And then also, we see that those that have a difficult time understanding it, they reject that stone, they reject that calling, they reject what it is being that royal priesthood. They don't understand it because they don't obey. And we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up soon, but I want to get back to what the duty of a priest is, because we read these things and a lot of times it's like, yeah, that sounds important and that sounds like something I should be proud of. That sounds like something that I should enjoy or even something that I should be willing to, you know, wear proudly, almost like a badge of honor, to be the royal priesthood, to be the building blocks of this church that God wants here on earth. But what exactly is the duty of a priest? And priests had a lot of different things that they did, but there was one particular thing that priests did that was special to them. Because, you know, everybody would come together and they would worship and they would, you know, sing songs. They would, do a bunch of different things whenever they would call people together. in that society, everybody kind of had their own duty. But there was one thing that the priest did that no one else did that was a little bit different. And that word is sacrifice. When we think about sacrifice, now, first of all, just in the interest of clarity, sacrifice has both a noun and a verb meaning. Now, they're related, so it's not like they're two different words. When you think about the word sacrifice, the priest had a special duty, and that was they were to go sacrifice by going to the altar and taking whatever it was that they could, you know, whatever it was they would take. And typically it would be some type of animal. Other cultures and religious traditions, they would sacrifice even humans and all kinds of things. But in this context, the priest would go forward and they would sacrifice. And so they were expected to be holy. They were expected to be more righteous than others, even though they knew that they were full of sin and they knew that they were just as inadequate as everyone else. They were expected to be more adequate. And just a little side note, the priest would often, like, if I were to take some, like, if I were a priest and I were to take someone else's sacrifice and put it on the altar, part of what I was doing was putting that sacrifice up there for me too, because I knew I was inadequate. But getting back to this word sacrifice, what we see here is, just going off of the dictionary definition, an act of offering to a deity something precious, something offered in sacrifice. The destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else, something given up or lost. And then look at the very bottom there where it says sacrifice hit. Now, those of you all who are baseball fans understand what sacrifice hit. You know, you have a sacrifice hit, sack fly, sack bunt. And what's interesting about that is it's kind of like baseball fans, we just kind of go through it. But if you really think about what this is what Peter, as we read there, this is what it's talking about. See, for those of you who are not baseball fans, basically what happens is you have the goal, the end game is that a runner crosses home plate after going around all the bases and scores. So the goal is to score. And so what you're doing in a sacrifice play is you're saying, I'm going to hit the ball and I'm going to be out. Okay? They're going to throw me out. They're going to get me at first. I'm going to sacrifice myself so that another person can score. That is, in essence, what a sacrifice hit, a sacrifice fly is in baseball. And when we think about sacrifice, it's in this context that we read in 1 Peter where it talks about us as this priesthood. Because you really only have one job as a priest that makes you distinguished and different, and that is your willingness to sacrifice. And you might say, well, how does this relate to us today? It's 2017. We're not in the Old Testament. We're not going up to the altar. We're not, you know, I'm not asking Leonard to bring me a ram and, you know, none of that. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 14. Starting in verse 25, where it reads, large crowds were gathered with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't the first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. So we see here in this example, and there's many other ones that talk about this, about what we're doing as disciples of Christ, what we're doing as followers of Christ is we're saying, you know what? I'm willing to sacrifice what I want. I'm willing to sacrifice the things that I once held as precious and dear and important to me, and saying that no longer matters. I'm going to sacrifice everything in my past so that I can now look forward and live for God. And so when it talks about that royal priesthood, it's important that we understand that there is no, like, everybody can worship, everybody can come to church, everybody can do well, everybody can sing and fellowship with one another, but there is no such thing as being a priest and being a part of that royal priesthood if you're not willing to sacrifice. If you're not willing to give up something. And it's also important to understand that when we think about sacrifice, sacrifice, like if I have, and I've shared this, I'm sure, in the past, but if I have millions of dollars and somebody says, hey, can you give me a couple hundred? Well, that's not quite the same sacrifice as giving up all of my money. You know, when you're worth a lot and you say, I'm willing to give it all up. You know, a sacrifice is when you say, you know what? I have a job or a career or something, but I'm willing to give this up because I know that's not, if I keep this career, if I keep this job, then it's going to destroy my family. And so what do? You weigh it out and you say, just like here where it says you count the cost, you weigh it out and you say, you know what? My family is not worth that money. Or my marriage is not worth this thing. Or my children and their education, it's not worth this thing. See, we do value assessment. We do value analysis. And we understand that if we're going to be this royal priesthood, if we're going to be these priests, then we have to be willing to sacrifice. And the question that I would have is, do you sacrifice? Because sacrifice is, back then, it was always an animal. It was always an atonement for sin, something of that type. And even now, we think, as George was talking, I was thinking about how, you know, we sacrifice, we give money because we know the good that gets done with the money. Even if we don't know every single detail, we don't know every, you know, time somebody needed something, or we don't know where every dime goes, we know that when we give money, when that plate goes around, we know that it's going to the advancement of God's kingdom. We know that it's going to build the church. But even though we know that, the question is, do we sacrifice in that way? Do we actually sacrifice our money? Or it could be that, yeah, I sacrifice my money, but for some of us, it's a lot easier for us to sacrifice our money than it is to sacrifice our time. Or maybe just sacrifice by building relationships with people that maybe it's not easy to build. You know, maybe we have to sacrifice our own material things, and maybe we have to sacrifice our time to ourselves to give to somebody else. Maybe we have to sacrifice our thoughts. Maybe we have to give up something. Interestingly enough, whenever the priest, talking Old Testament here, whenever the person would come to the priest, they'd bring a sacrifice that was in some way representative of the sin that they were agreeing that they had committed against God. And so you take this sacrifice and, you know, you take its life so that your life wouldn't be taken. And we think about sacrifice in that sense. We think about being priests in that royal priesthood in that way. Then all of a sudden, everything starts to make sense when we look at 1 Peter. Because, yes, a sacrifice can be a noun. It can be the actual thing that you're sacrificing. But it's also important that we understand that the sacrifice is an attitude. It is a verb. It is an action. It is a willingness to sacrifice. A willingness to even go to the altar. A willingness to take whatever it is, because we know, like we looked at in Luke 14, nothing else really matters. There's really nothing that's more important. But when we think about sometimes what we have to give up, what we have to sacrifice, we have to ask ourselves, is that sacrifice something that we're willing to hold on to? I think about myself and how one of the things that goes into, and we were talking about this at length, but one of the things that goes into ministry is you do end up sacrificing a lot of your personal time. It's the same thing when you go and you have children. You know, you have children and you have to sacrifice your money, sacrifice your sleep. Yes, I heard a coming from the baby crowd. Like, yes, those of you who haven't had babies in a while, you know what it is to sacrifice sleep. And you're glad that you're not sacrificing sleep anymore, you know. But when we think about it, see, with our children, when it's your job, when it's your marriage, when it's your education, I'm looking over here at these college students and they're like, yeah, man, I haven't had fun in a long time. I haven't laughed. I wish you would tell me a joke because all I'm doing is studying right now, you know. But when you think about it, you say, hey, that is a sacrifice I'm willing to make. Not only is it a sacrifice I'm willing to make, it's a sacrifice that I have to make. Because not only is it that you're in school, but you know that somebody gave up something precious for you to even be able to go to school. You know that your mother or your father worked 2 and 3 jobs. You know, I think of my wife and how her grandmother would literally like go back and forth, drive. She wouldn't drive all the way from Louisville to Murray, Kentucky. So she would pay somebody to give her a ride just so that she could make sure that her granddaughter had food, had some money, that she was okay down in college. You know, you think about how somebody was willing to sacrifice something. So it's not just, okay, I have to be willing to sacrifice for me, but I know what Jesus did for me to make it so that I can be here, to make it so that I can be one of these chosen, so that I can be a part of this royal priesthood. And so as we finish up here, I want us to look at just a few things that I want us to take away, and I want us to really ask ourselves. And just think about the fact that you can worship, you can pray, you can do a lot of things without being a priest, but you can't be a priest unless you're willing to sacrifice, unless you're willing to go to the altar and confront your own sin, your own shortcomings. This church, we've been talking about our theme, 2017, we want to grow as individuals spiritually, as a church collectively. We want to grow in our presence. We want to grow by helping others find Christ. But it comes at a sacrifice. And we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to be those priests? Are we willing to be that royal priesthood? We have to ask ourselves and confront the fact that there are some things that are harder to give up than others. There are some things that are more difficult when it comes to putting them on the altar. Think back to Abraham, and we'll talk about him a little bit next week. But just how, imagine having to sacrifice your son. Something that you've been waiting for your whole life. Something that is rightfully yours, something you've worked for. And think about, what is it that I'm not willing to put on the altar for the mission that God put me on in following his son? We think about, when we think about what we're not willing to put up, because, you know, there, like I said, there's some things that are easier than others, but usually it's the one thing we're not willing to sacrifice that's the one thing that God wants us to sacrifice. We think about the story of the rich young ruler and how he says, go sell all of your possessions and then you can come follow me. And he made it clear that that was a bridge too far. He walked away sad. He was unwilling to sacrifice that. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we not willing to sacrifice? Because if we think about it, what we're really contemplating here and what we're really kind of weighing out is, I love this thing and I don't want to sacrifice this thing, but there's other things hanging in the balance. How could God use you to impact other people's lives if you were willing to sacrifice that one thing that you won't give up? How could God use you as the example for others if you would just give up that thing, that one thing that you hold so precious and so dear? See, it's a very difficult thing to sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice if it's not painful, if it doesn't pinch you, if it doesn't hurt you, if it doesn't force you to weigh out your options like we saw in Luke 14. But that's the job of a priest. And this is really important. Do we resent sometimes the sacrifice that God asks us to do? It's important that we understand. See, sometimes we'll, you know, my dad and I used to talk about this quite a bit because it was like, sometimes sacrificing, it's like you sacrifice it and it's like we just go up to the altar and just like, here, you know, just throw it on up there. Like, I'm going to give it to you because I know it's the right thing to do, but I'm not going to do it with a smile on my face. I'm not going to do it happily. We give it almost begrudgingly. We give it with a bad attitude. And when we look back at Cain and Abel, we see that it wasn't necessarily, it could have been, but it wasn't necessarily the content and what the sacrifice consisted of, but it was a heart by which they gave. Some of us, we give our time to our brothers and sisters. We give our time to the lost. We give our time to love other people. And it's like, oh, it's a drudgery. It's so painful. It's taxing, you know. And we have to ask ourselves, if you don't want to do the one thing that is your job as a priest, as that royal priesthood, then why are you here? You know, if my job is to where I work on computers, if my job is to diagnose somebody's computer and fix it, why am I mad when a call comes in for me to go and fix somebody's computer? If you're a nurse and you come in and you clock in for your shift at the hospital or something, and your job is to check on your patients, why are you mad about it? Why are you resentful about actually doing your job? There are some people, they're like, hey, I'm just grateful to have a job. And that should be our attitude. Because, see, we don't have to be accepted by God. We didn't have to hear the message and accept it. We didn't have to be one of this chosen priesthood. We should be grateful when we're able to go to the altar and make that sacrifice. We should be grateful. And we should take with us the attitude that, you know what, I'm just glad that I have a father who's willing to accept what I'm bringing. Because we always know that it's not enough. No matter what it don't matter how many pigeons and doves and rams and whatever they brought, doesn't make a difference. You know it's not enough. Because in actuality, it's your life that should be up there on that altar. It's you that should be up on that altar. We should be grateful to be able to sacrifice, not resent it. And then finally, I want us to think about and remember just how sacrifice is designed to be uncomfortable. To give out of an abundance, to give and say, well, but I'm giving a lot of things. Yeah, but where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you're willing to sacrifice from your heart, then you'll dig a little deeper and you'll realize that, you know what? Maybe I'm a little selfish. Maybe I don't want to give this thing because I don't want to extend myself because it'll mean a little less money for me or a little less sleep for me or a little less time for me to do something I want to do. Maybe it's as simple as sacrificing your ego and your image and being willing to say, you know what? I know this person needs some direction, needs some help, needs to hear the gospel. and I need to be willing to share it. But in sacrifice, when we think about this royal priesthood, and as we continue to go throughout and study about sacrifice, I want us to really consider, what is too big a sacrifice to give up for God? Because there are people out here that we've experienced it, or we've actually done it, where we've given up everything, our houses, homes, money, career. We've given up everything for children and family and frankly, things that are less important than that. We've given up a lot for the things that we value and find to be important. But when we think about the mission that God has put us on, when we think about what it is that Jesus called us to do in being his disciples and following him, what is too big for us to give up? What are you willing to sacrifice to God today? What are you willing to walk away from for God today? What are you willing to say, you know what? I've been holding on to this thing and I haven't been willing to put it on the altar, but I'm willing to put it on the altar today. I'm willing to say no more. I need to do better. I have to do better. I owe God more. Maybe it's even you. Maybe it's even your life. Maybe you have to be willing to sacrifice your own life. Maybe you need to finally say, you know what? I need to accept Jesus in this life that he's been calling and calling and calling and calling me to. Are you willing to sacrifice that today? We know that God, as it says, he is going to vindicate us. We'll never look back and regret accepting Jesus. He's always going to come through. But it's important that we understand that as a part of our sacrifice, we have to understand obedience and how important it is that we obey. That we obey the calling, that we obey what it is that God is asking us to do and following in his son's example. Are you willing to come? Because you've heard the message. We got a great example of that last week. You know, it's something that you can get conditioned to thinking that it's no big deal, but it's huge. It's everything. That you finally accept the call of Christ. I appreciate Edith's heart so much and her willingness to say, you know what? I have to, it's not just going through the motions. I have to be willing to accept the call that I'm going to follow in Christ's example, that I'm going to get baptized, that Jesus is going to be Lord. And for many of us, we forget sometimes how special that moment is. We have to kind of think back how important it is that somebody be willing to obey and be willing to sacrifice whatever it was. See, I don't know all about Edith's life. I don't know about all of your lives. But I know that you gave up something. The other thing I know for sure is whatever you gave up, it isn't worth your salvation. Are you willing to give up your life, like we see here in Luke 14, are you willing to give up your life today for eternal life? Are you willing to give up your life today so that you can have the promise of eternity?